from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into hour number two of the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia, filling in for the great Kyle Madsen. Jesse, we got this weird bit of information. But this is why I love free agency and trade deadline postmortems. We always find out after the fact that more was going on than everyone thought.
Yeah, what really went down?
The 411. And I've said this a million times. My favorite postmortem writer in the NBA is always Sam. It's Sam Amick from The Athletic. He's a friend, but more than that, he gets the two dudes were walking down the street having, you know, sipping on Starbucks and looked at each other and said, I don't think we should do this anymore. And you should probably trade me. Like, he has all these like little weird insights.
Yeah, the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, the conversations and how it went down. Josh Robbins from The Athletic, who covers the Washington Wizards and who's a long time covering the Orlando Magic for the Orlando Sentinel and used to be the president of the Pro Basketball Writers Association. Josh is a good dude. He came out with a story and he breaks down the Kyle Kuzma thing. Kyle Kuzma, according to Kyle Kuzma, who basically told this story, they came to him and said, hey, we've got a deal with Dallas. Would you like to go to Dallas or would you like to stick around? But this is kind of what we're thinking. These are the parameters. Again, Dallas and Washington go on to consummate a deal for Daniel Gafford after this conversation. So I'm going to guess that Grant Williams, before they go get PJ Washington, Grant Williams is involved and probably Seth Curry and probably a second first-round draft
pick. Yeah, probably so.
So you're probably looking at two first-round draft picks plus Grant Williams plus whatever. So this is the package that's probably going to Washington, probably for Daniel Gafford and Kyle Kuzma. Well, Kyle Kuzma tells the Wizards, no, I'm good. I'm good. I would rather see it through here. And, you know, I think we're building something and I want to stick around.
Your thoughts, James.
Jesse, what does that tell you about Kyle Kuzma?
What it tells me, because the fact that he says he wants to build something there and he wants to see it through and all that, I think it means he's not self-aware when it comes to himself as a player. I don't think it means like, oh, he doesn't want to win or anything like that. I think Kyle Kuzma in his brain thinks, I can take a team to the playoffs. I can lead a team. Just get some guys around me or whatever. I just need some solid players and we can do this. We can do this. I can lead us to the promised land. When in reality, someone needs to sit next to Kyle and tell him, hey, brother, you're not that guy. You're probably third option, and that's not a bad thing on an NBA team or whatever, and like that's probably your role. But I think it's a matter of Kyle Kuzma just not being aware of who he is as a player, I think.
Okay, so like I know like Damian gets on me for this because, you know, Kyle Kuzma is a fashionista, right? Like he shows up wearing some of the most ridiculous things that anyone's ever put on their you know, he literally thinks he's on a runway and he's going to a game for the Washington Wizards, who are 9-44, mind you. This isn't like he's going to...
Yeah, they're not fighting for a playing spot or anything. They're not that.
Yeah, this is not Fashion Week in New York City. It's not Fashion Week in Paris. He's literally going to play for a team that has a win percentage of 0.170. A 170 win percentage. So, like, he Damian doesn't like when I bring up the fact that, you know, let the guy wear what he wears, right? That's fine. And I agree. Like, I don't care what he wears. Like, I mess with, like, Kevin Huerter in the locker room because Kevin Huerter wears, like, he has a pink bubblegum, like, sweater.
Yeah.
Like, it's super pink. And
can't
I
can't miss him.
And I told Kevin, I'm like, bro, like, ginger to ginger. Like, we can't wear that. Like, and he laughs.
He's helping a guy out, yeah.
I'm like, look, man, like, our complexion, that doesn't work. It makes you look, like, all pink and weird. Like, it makes you look blotchy, and, like, that's what that color looks like on us. So I almost feel like, Kyle Kuzma shows up wearing the sweater that's, like, a foot and a half too long. Well, it's more than that, right? It was more like 3 feet longer than his arms, you know, like his sweater dragged down to the ground. That's him as a player. Like, there is no one there telling him that, like, the emperor has no clothes. Like, that's it just, it's, he's so into, like, that he's not able to see that he plays for one of the worst teams in basketball, and he's part of the reason that they're bad, and you have options to go other places and be better. And I'm not saying you have to go somewhere else and don't dress that way. What I'm saying is that, like, what you said, his idea of who he is and who he is actually is very different. Very, very, very different.
That's fair, because I don't want to say Kyle Kuzma is not, like, I don't want to say Kyle Kuzma is not, like, about winning. I just think he's very distorted in his thinking. Because, like, he was with that Lakers team beginning or whatever, and he was putting up points, but he did have to take a backseat when Bron and AD got there, of course. Who wouldn't? But, like, he did take a backseat, and he did play his role. And I don't think there was ever an issue there while he was doing that, like, from Kyle Kuzma. He did play his role on that team and did well, so I do give him credit for that. But like you said, it's just a matter of that he's just not self-aware. You're not that guy.
There's no self-awareness at all in anything regarding Kyle Kuzma. And I think that's my point. Again, it's not to make in fun of how he dresses.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'm much more concerned the fact that he chooses to stay with a 9-win team than anything else. Like, you got an opportunity to go play with Luka and Kyrie Irving. And
that's tough to pass up.
And you say no?
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm good. I would much, much rather see who we get in the lottery this year.
Maybe the Wizards GM is telling him, like, bro, like, I'm sorry, Kyle, but if we get those players, like, you're not the one who's going to lead this team. Maybe, like, you got to have the tough conversation with him. But also, that contract is tradable, so you just try it again next year.
I guess. Or maybe you don't. Or because if he's just content to be there and just score 20 on it's not like that's going to matter at the end of the day.
I mean, because Kyle Kuzma has to know, like, there's no period of time or whatever where, like, the Wizards are going to the playoffs with Kyle Kuzma, like, leading the way. Like, within the next 3 years, we'll call it that. Maybe he does get lucky and they draft whoever and they just hit on all these picks, but that's not going to happen for another 4 years, probably.
You know how old he is in 4 years?
I'm assuming 30, 31?
32.
Above 30, 32?
Yeah, he's 28 right now. So, yeah, he's just going to waste his prime. Like, and that's another thing. Like, you're a 28-year-old dude. You're just going to blow out your prime and just, like, playing for a bad... Okay.
You wonder how much of him getting a ring early on in his career had an effect on, like, his moves, rest of it.
I guess, yeah. I mean, again, once again, I think that puts Kyle Kuzma in the I would never trade for him. Let's get to this really quick. Tim Bontemps for ESPN. He runs a ladder for MVP, and I like the way he does this because I'll be honest, people out there, I've known Tim for a long time. Like, I'm part of his straw poll, right? So what he does is he reaches out and says, hey, I'm doing a straw poll again, hit me with your five, right? And so everybody sends in their five, and as of right now, Sabonis is nowhere near the top five. Which, you know, again, we can look at MVP ladder for ESPN. He's like number seven. But as of right now, he has not Tim, but which is why I like this, because it's not one guy's opinion. It's a bunch of people aggregated. So Jokic, SGA, Giannis, Luka, Kawhi, Tatum, Brunson, Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, and then tied for 11 is Sabonis and Halliburton, which I think is
tied together forever.
Forever. And so here's how it works. He only asked for 5. He doesn't want any more than 5. You can't send him more than 5 because I've tried. He goes, nope, you got to send me, like, I'm not taking your slash.
We're not doing no 5A, 5B here. Yeah,
your Fox slash SGA at number 5.
Yeah, none of that tomfoolery.
Yeah, so this is just as many people as he can get in the industry, and then he aggregates the number and puts it together. And for me, I sent him Jokic, SGA, Kawhi, Tatum, Mitchell. That's the group that I sent him, which isn't that far off of his top 5. But I think it's a good way to do things. I mean, it's fair.
So I think it gives you a good idea of where it's leaning towards, too, for how it's actually going to end up.
Yeah, and I just think, like, if you understand the process that goes into it, like, you shouldn't be angry with Tim Bontemps. You should be angry with all of the writers in basketball, because that's how this is done. And the fact that I can't put in who my 6th or 7th guy is, because I would probably have Sabonis at number 7, Giannis, and then at number 6, and then Sabonis at number 7. But he doesn't ask for that. He just wants your top 5. And then he builds his thing through that. So I think it's a fair way to do it. And I also think it's good food for thought for right now. So we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more Sacramento Kings. We're going to dive into what's next after the break. So thanks for tuning into the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll see you in just a minute.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia. We're taking a look at this the Sacramento Kings Phoenix Suns game that's going to go on tonight at 7 p.m. on TNT. It's a big time game for the Sacramento Kings. Only 2 games left before the NBA takes a break for the All-Star game, which the Kings play again. They play tonight against the Phoenix Suns, and to back tomorrow in Denver against the Nuggets. So it should be kind of a crazy couple of days for the Kings. But this is the league. And we got news this morning that the Kings injury report is not good. We've got Chris Duarte, who is questionable with a right ankle sprain. Duarte has been out for a while with a right ankle sprain. It's been, what, a week? He came in the locker room on crutches one game. I've heard that he's looked much better. He's got a little spring in his step, Jesse, and that he was seen like jogging and that he's moving around pretty good. And that was like even late last week. So there's good signs there, but the Sasha Vezenkov news is not good at all. We have now learned through the Kings that Sasha has a grade 3 right ankle sprain, which they're going to reevaluate in 4 to 6 weeks. But a grade 3 right ankle sprain is usually a very long-term injury, a like 8 to 12 week injury at a minimum.
You said this is bad as it gets, pretty much, right? Because you get the tear too, I think.
Yeah, it's a tear. So a grade 2 is, well, a grade 1 is that you basically stretch the tendon, the ligament in the ankle. A grade 2 is that you had a slight tear in the ligament. And a grade 3 is that you rip the ligament and now it has to reattach itself and then grow back together and heal up and basically scar tissue and everything else.
Does not sound nice.
No, it's not. So you don't need surgery. And this isn't like the high ankle sprain is different than a low ankle sprain, which is what it appears that he has. But we had this with De'Aaron Fox a couple of years ago, early in the season. I think it was right before game 10 and like the 2018 season, no, 2019 or 20 season. There we go. And he was back in like miraculous time. Like that's where we get this Fox is a quick healer because it took him 7 weeks to get back and he missed 20 games. That's what we're talking about with Sasha. Like Sasha's season could be over. I'm not saying that it is, but the fact that we're in mid-February.
Oh yeah, even if he does come back, like we're gonna be near the end of the season already. When he gets back, we're just gonna throw him back into the rotation. No.
Exactly. So this is a bad injury for Sasha, and he injured himself at practice on Saturday. So this is one of those things that happens. You know, you never know when something like this will happen, where you roll an ankle. Again, with Fox, that day when he had a grade 3, we walked in to the practice facility for practice, and the Kings had a game the next day, and Fox was literally just standing up and like walking on it and kind of hopping to the back room. He had just rolled it, like right at the end of practice, doing not even anything major. And it didn't look that bad, but it turned out to be pretty catastrophic. So,
ankle sprain's not fun.
Yeah, not a good thing at all. So I would assume he's going to be in a boot for a while, and we'll see how long it takes him to get back. So we have Duarte's out. We also have 3 players that are away from the team: Jordan Ford, Mason Jones, and Jalen Slauson, that are all on 2-way contracts. Mason Jones, of course, is the added body that that replaced Keon Ellis as a 2-way when the Kings decided to bump Keon Ellis onto the main roster. Jalen Slauson's played really well as of late in Stockton. He had that crazy dunk the other day that everyone was going nuts about. But I don't know. He's still going to be a little bit of a ways away. As for the Phoenix Suns, they do actually have a couple of small injuries, but nothing major. Bradley Beal is available with a nasal fracture, and Damian Lee is out with a right meniscus surgery. So that is your injury report for the Phoenix Suns-Sacramento Kings game this evening.
Let's get into some keys to the game, huh?
Let's do it.
First one for you, James. Go.
Adjust when the Suns go small. I think this was the biggest thing that the Kings struggled with last time. The Kings built a big lead against the Phoenix Suns, and they're up 22 in the fourth quarter, and then Phoenix went small with Kevin Durant playing the center position, and the Kings didn't adjust. Sabonis kept dropping into the post, waiting for someone to come for him to defend, and they never did, and they just kept launching from three, and he wasn't getting out to the three-point line. And the Kings had no shot.
That game is forever going to irk me. That's going to be probably the most frustrating game I've seen from the Kings all year. So yeah, adjust please to the small ball, because you couldn't do it for the last 7 minutes of the last game. So I hope you're able to now.
Yeah, and just so you know, Jesse, that would have made them a half game ahead of Phoenix right now, and with a season series victory already at 3-0.
Yeah, these games matter. Who knew?
Let's get to your first key.
All right, my first key. Your stars have to play like stars in these games, okay? You're going up against a top-heavy team where it's going to be KD, it's going to be Booker, and it's going to be Bill. I need Sabonis. I need Fox, who hasn't really been doing it lately. I need Fox to step up. Malik, get in here too. I need my stars to play like stars, all right? I'm not expecting Trey Lyles to come off the bench and give me 15 and boom, oh, that's what got us the win or whatever. I need Fox, Sabonis, Monk, and throw in Keegan or whoever else wants to be that third guy if it's not Monk. I need my stars to be stars today.
That's a really good point, man. And when the Kings... when Fox, Sabonis, and one other guy play extremely well, they're tough to beat. And then if you get that 15 with Trey Lyles off the bench, you're even that more difficult to beat. So, yeah, I think that this is a team that the Kings kind of have had their number, that they match up well with for some reason. And the only time you didn't is when they went small, and I expect them to go small, and hopefully the stars can star for the Kings and not for the Suns.
Well, so your third key or your second key right here?
My second key. Let's see, where are we? Which team shows up? The team that beat the Nuggets or the team that lost to the Pistons and Thunder? Because those are two totally different teams. Like, if you don't have energy and effort coming from your starting group, you're going to lose, and this is going to be an ugly entry into the All-Star break. And so which team shows up is a big deal for me, and we shouldn't be asking this question 53 games into the season.
You know what? I'll just play off of that key. My second key right here, we got start the game off strong and set the flow for the rest of it. Don't come in here where you're playing sluggish or whatever, and we got to come back because you gave up 40 points in the first quarter. You need to start the game off well, and you need to dictate how it goes down. We need to see what – I think another thing, too, is like you said, we'll see which Kings team we get based off of how they start. So they start off fine. I think it'll be a good one.
There we go. And I think, you know, the one thing about this team is they're going to let you back in. They're not a spectacular defensive team. They're going to let you back in. And as long as you're playing hard, like what you're saying, like off the jump – you got a really big shot. The problem that you have with starting strong is they already beat you when you were up 22 in the fourth. So not only you got to start strong, but you got to make sure you got to end it. You got to have, and that's something that I don't think the Kings have had this season. Let's get to my third key. Defend the three. The Suns don't shoot a lot of three balls, but they hit 37.9, which ranks fifth in the NBA. The Kings are the worst defensive three-point, the worst defense against three-pointers in the history of the world. I don't know if it's the history of the world, but it feels like it. This season, Jesse, I can't even imagine giving up 39.8% from three on the season. They're 30th in the NBA. They're last now. They were 29th. Now they're not anymore.
Teams are elite shooting the three against the Kings.
And that means everybody.
Yes.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Like you had teams like Charlotte come in. Oh, they don't really shoot the three. Or they're the worst three-point shooting team in the league. Them, Orlando. Yeah, they set their career franchise marks against you.
These teams are going into it. Fellas, it's not our game, but hey, why not? It's the Kings. Take them if you can.
Make it rain! What do you got for your third key, Jesse?
My third key, I'm going to play off of that one defense a little bit. Keegan Murray, I need to see him step up in these defensive matchups, whether it's against KD, Booker, Bill. It's going to be a close game, I think, and it's going to come down to some late-minute matchups. I need Keegan to get some stops when it comes down to it.
That's a great key. Keegan Murray is right now one of the best on-ball defenders in the NBA. He's grown in that area so incredibly much, and he's going to have a tough call no matter who it is he's defending, but he's got to figure it out. He's got to guard somebody. All right, there is your keys to the game. We're the Insiders. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the final segment of the Insiders. We, of course, will give way to D'Lo and Casey at noon. Make sure to tune in for that. We'll also have the handoff here in just a little while. So I'm going to guess Damian Barling might join us here in a few minutes. I'm James Hamm, of course, and Jesse Tappy is joining me. Kyle Madsen is out today. He is under the weather.
I got to bring up something real quick, James. I saw in the chat. Allison brings it up. Vegas is about to have like a bunch of sports teams or whatever. They're going to get the baseball team probably going to get a basketball team, and Sac just has the Kings. Like, we need more here. Sac is a city that can support more.
No, I totally agree. It's just not a destination city.
Yeah.
Which is where I think Vegas gets, you know, like that makes sense.
I get Vegas getting their team. I'm not saying Vegas shouldn't get their teams and stuff, but like throw us something over here too.
Yeah, and I also, again, I think the NBA works in Vegas, Jesse. I don't like, you know, again, my concern with Vegas has always been, number one, the gambling aspect. Number two, you know, we always talk about the South Beach flu, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, what are you going to call the Vegas flu? Like the high desert flu? Like, I don't know, because you're going to have that in Vegas as well.
Maybe the high roller headache?
I guess the high roller headache. There you go.
Oh, I'm trademarking that.
Oh, you are trademarking that. Yes. That's the problem that I have. And, you know, people say, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Look, the Raiders. No, it is a big deal. Look what happened to the Raiders, like, realistically. You can say what you want, that, like, everything went great and, you know, they're thriving in Las Vegas. The reason why you always have to concern about Vegas is because of the Henry Ruggs situation. That's why Vegas is tough place to put professionals, a professional sports team, especially guys that live there now.
Yeah, it's always going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to make sure that guys are doing the right things and aren't getting in trouble. And, you know, again, I think NBA is a little different because you roll in, you might have a night there the night before, you might have a game and then be able to go out after, but it's all within the confines of the team atmosphere and you're getting on a team plane and going somewhere else, right? Where the NFL, you might spend like 3 days in the buildup to a game in a city. And that's where I think you can get into some trouble.
Yeah.
I have a strong take that you know, of course, in my opinion, the Major League Baseball won't work in Vegas. Not the way they want it to work.
Also forced and rushed. It's not like it's all just a joke.
No, it is. It's bad, right? And they're going to build a 27,000 seat venue for it. Well, first of all, you're not getting anything else, right? So, like, I don't know. Have you ever seen a concert at the Oakland Coliseum?
Have not.
Okay, but they have them all the time, right? And especially in the Bay Area, like, I saw Pink Floyd at the Oakland Coliseum years ago, right? And there have been tons and tons of things. Well, you're not getting that in Vegas because Disney on Ice isn't coming to your
it's not
arena.
Coming to the A Stadium in Vegas.
Yeah, you're not getting an open air. There's all of these venues that already do that in Vegas. Like, they just built the Sphere that you know, concerts will go to. They have all of these venues already in place. You're not getting that there. So I don't know how you think you're going to make your money, but also 182 games, it's very different. I mean, 162 games, I'm sorry, and 81 home games. It's much different than an NBA season. So while an NBA season's 82 games, you don't have series against teams. So that's where, like, I don't see fans coming in or like being in Vegas and going, oh, let's go catch a 3-game set against, you know, even if it's the Yankees. I don't think you're going to have a lot of people doing it. But if it's the Reds, if it's, you know, the Marlins, like, who cares?
Yeah, no one's coming to that.
No one's coming to that. And so how are you going to, like, support that business? Because Vegas has so many other things to do. No one wants to go give 2.5-3 hours of their day while they're in Vegas having a great time to go to a baseball game. That's just not the Vegas world.
I don't know. So. I guess they got all the answers, though.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, there is no local broadcast for the Sacramento Kings game tonight. It is on TNT, so it is a nationally televised game.
It's big time. I love national TV when the Kings are on, just because it's like it didn't happen before that much or whatever. Now it's just kind of like, all right, let's put the spotlight on these guys.
I love that too. I just hope that they live up to it, you know, because that's kind of like going into your keys. Like, don't start off slow.
Yeah, don't start off slow.
Don't be that team. Don't be the team that gets on national television and then kind of proves everybody else's point that doesn't watch you on a daily basis. We've got the Kings. They're heading into the All-Star break. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but they're 7-8 over their last 15. I would be okay if they go 8-9 into the break. I think going 7-10 into the break would be pretty disastrous if they drop these next two games. But last season they were 6-7 in their final 13 heading into the break. And then they go on to finish 16-9 in their final 25. This year, they're going to have a few more games afterwards. But where are you at kind of with this? What is your biggest concern heading into the break? And how do you feel like they can address that concern during the week off?
My biggest concern is that they come out of the break looking like how they do now. They're the same team. I don't think there's anything Mike Brown can do to fix this team. Monique McNair had his time or whatever, and we'll wait for the offseason for that. It's up to these players now at this point. What needs to happen over the break is Fox needs to rest, I guess. If Fox needs to do whatever Fox needs to get out of this little funk that he's been in, whether it be rest, spending family time, going to Disneyland, I don't know. Do what you need to do to snap out of it. Like guys like Kevin Huerter, like there's been so much uncertainty with you going into the season, like Kevin Huerter, like going into the season when we weren't even sure if he's going to start, then Duarte gets hurt, heard your name in trade rumors and all that. Now that's all done and over with. Now it's kind of like a refresh. It's up to these players during that All-Star break to get themselves going for the second part of the season, I think. My biggest concern is that they don't.
I would agree. That would be probably like the mental aspect of this. I just think that for whatever reason, and I'm not going to make an excuse here. I mean, you're a professional basketball player. Like, this is your job. Like, you need to figure it out. But, you know, you're saying, you know, with De'Aaron Fox, you know, he's having a little bit of a downturn. It's not a little bit of a downturn. It's over.
Well, you said it's 20 games worth, right?
Yeah. So since January, since we turned the calendar year, he's averaging 22.1 points per game, 4.6 assists, but he's shooting 33% from three. He's shooting 43.9% from the field.
Yeah, that's tough right there. That's the one that's kind of tough.
Yeah, because he's a guy who usually shoots around 48%. Like, he's a much better shooter than that. Not even just a three-point shot, but, you know, last season he shot 51.2% from the field. Like, right now he's at 46.5. That's a huge dip. Like, dropping 5 percentage points on your field goal percentage is substantial, especially when you raise your three-point percentage by 5%. So that, to me, it's really odd that we're kind of seeing this change.
It's funny because, like, not funny, but it's just kind of odd how the drop-off has been so extreme to how he was playing early on and stuff to now, like, where he's at now.
Yeah.
It's completely opposite.
Yeah, it's very strange. So I'm hoping that Fox gets right during the All-Star break. I hope that he has, you know, like whatever he needs to, like, get away from the game for a bit, take a deep breath and sort of reset himself. I think it's a big deal because I don't think that this team makes the push in the second half if he doesn't.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, right now the team is not, I'm not saying like the team, like roster, they're bad or good or whatever, but like the way they're playing, it's just not good right now. It's not good enough. There needs to be, I don't want to say a step taken, but like they need to snap out of this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the rest of the season is just not going to be good.
Yeah, because at that point, it doesn't really matter like what the teams around you do. It doesn't matter what Phoenix does. It doesn't matter what Dallas does. It doesn't matter what the Pelicans do. If you don't find yourself, you're not going to be there. You're not, I mean, like, I don't think you're going to fall out of the play-in completely. Like, for this team to plummet and be the 11th seed, I don't think that's going to happen. But the play-in itself is extremely difficult.
Yeah, fact of the matter is, I don't want any parts of a play-in game with the Warriors or LeBron James. A one-off game where it's like, we have to win this one game.
Yeah, with the officials. You know.
Yeah, because, yeah, we don't, you don't want any part of that at all.
You know, this is like totally off.
Let's get into it, James.
It's bizarre. Did you notice the extra officials in the game, in the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't.
You didn't notice that there was, like, officials running out with like kind of pads that were breaking up little skirmishes?
Oh, I did notice one of them. It was with the Jarius Sneed, I think, when him and Ayuk got into it, and he slaps Ayuk and this guy runs on the field like they're about to get it. It was like, what are you doing? I noticed one of them.
Okay, so there were like two or three of these guys.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? These guys are running on the field trying to break it up.
There's also an official with each coach, like running up and down with each coach, like sitting there. Anytime they called a timeout, there's an official right there. Like, there were a lot of extra officials on the field.
Yeah, because I'm pointing to the Ayuk one where the Chiefs player hits him in the helmet or whatever, and the guy runs out and says, like, relax, pal, it's fine. It's just, like, let the ref throw the flag or whatever. I didn't even realize, like, I saw that, like, well, I noticed it, but I didn't realize what it was until you brought it up right now.
Yeah.
Maybe the NBA needs more officials, huh?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe there does need to be more officials.
Do something, because we hear every week, whether it's from the Timberwolves or who. Oh, well, whoever, like the refs stunk today. And we hear my favorite part now, the complaint about the refs. Give me the fine. I don't care. They stunk.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so fed up with it at this point.
Well, and you saw what happened with the, was it the Knicks game last night?
I didn't see exactly what it was, but I saw the refs miss another call or whatever. I saw Tom Thibodeau was walking off the court. His team was just like, yeah, we got screwed again.
Yeah, so they called a last second foul, I believe, and then they went back and reviewed it and said that the contact came after the ball was released, and so it didn't have any part of the actual play, which I don't think I agree with. You foul somebody, you foul somebody. So, like,
seems simple enough, huh?
It always feels like they make up some rules at certain points.
I feel like that probably does. I don't want to say they make it up, but I don't know. I think there's something to that theory.
We had a very strict rule that you're not allowed to grab the rim if you're a defensive player or it's offensive goaltend. And then this year, Draymond Green grabs a rim, and they don't call it a goaltend. They call it, they said it didn't have anything to do with the ball going through the rim. And it's like, wait.
Yeah, okay, that's not what you used to tell us back then.
That's not the way the rule's ever been called. So anyway, I don't know what's going on, but there were new officials on the field for the Super Bowl that I had never seen before. Anytime that there was a little bit of a player skirmish, a dude with like a pad would run in and like get in the middle and like, hey, nope.
That's hilarious that they're padding him up too. Dude's running in shoulder pads or whatever. Hey guys, get out of the way or whatever. This little guy or whatever. He's got shoulder pads. Like, that's going to do anything.
No, it wasn't shoulder pads. It was like he had like a pad with him.
Oh, a pad.
Like a squishy like pillow.
I got you.
So like,
that's even funnier.
The whole thing was weird. I was like, who are these dudes? We've never seen these guys before. But why haven't you done that before? Why, you know, like, what, is there a budget, like an official's budget that we can't afford to have those? Come on, man, you're the NFL.
Mark Davis paid for extra officials, but not a cart. Okay.
This goes back to the cart. It does.
It always comes back to the cart, James.
I bet you at the end of the day, all of those extra officials got in that little cart and drove off. I don't even know if they're real. Maybe they weren't even real officials. Maybe they're just fans that wore official outfits. And ran out there and like, hey, we got this.
It's
we're going to break up this fight.
Maybe we get those extra officials that like for that playing game. We're talking about the Lakers and the Warriors and Kings.
They just went around Vegas and found all the best bouncers. Yeah. They had like a best bouncer competition. Like, hey, there's a fight. I need you to break it up now. Like, okay, you see a fight about to start. I need you to step in. You're a bouncer. You know what we're talking about. That's hilarious. So we figured out our both of our biggest concern is that coming out of the break, like just straight up, De'Aaron Fox needs to look like De'Aaron Fox, right?
Exactly.
And if that happens, I think the Kings will be just fine. Like, I don't want to put it on one player, but when you are a team's best player and you're their biggest, most dynamic scorer and everything else, and then you have like a downturn in your season, that's a problem.
Well, you get more breathing room, too, when your star's playing well, because that takes a lot of the pressure off the other guys. Because when your star's not playing well, okay, I need a little something more from Trey. Like, I need the other guys to pick up the slack. Like, when Fox is playing well, it's like, okay, then, like, we're good. We're good. We'll be fine or whatever. If we don't get whatever from Lyles or whoever, we'll be okay because Fox is carrying us right now. Where the other ways, you have no breathing room at all.
Well, and I would also point out, too, that early in the season, we had a couple injuries with this team, right? Trey Lyles missed, I think, the first 13 games of the season.
Yeah, Kevin Huerter feel like he was in and out.
Yeah, no, has Kevin Huerter missed games? De'Aaron Fox did miss, I think he's missed six games in the first half, but five of them came on that one stretch early in the year. We had Alex Len miss a big grouping of games. But as of right now, what the Kings have played 52 games, right? And of their starters, we got Sabonis at 52. We got Fox at 46. We've got Keegan Murray at 48. We've got Harrison Barnes at 52. Malik Monk at 51. Kevin Huerter at 50. So again, your top six players have missed a combined 13 games. That's it. And then when we go to the next level of players, sure. Some of these players have missed games because of injury, which is Trey Lyles missed is at 38 games. Davion Mitchell's been in and out of the rotation at 42 games. Duarte's in and out of the rotation, and now he's injured at 36. Sasha, 35 games. So my point is, though, there is no real injury excuse for why your first half is the way it is. Like last year, you were super healthy, and you know that's what everyone said. Oh, well, the Kings are really, really healthy. And I kept saying, yeah, they're really healthy because they have players that are typically healthy. Now, you walk into this season, and the one guy who was like unhealthy throughout his career that you brought in, Chris Duarte, sure, he's missed some games, but not a lot. due to injury. He's missed other games because he's just not in the rotation. But it feels like the Kings are kind of running out of, like, outs.
Yeah, there's no injuries plagued us early on in the season. We're still trying to recover. Like, everything, like, as far as that, you can play through that as an NBA team. That's just something everyone else goes to with guys missing games here and there. So, yeah, something you can put to point to that for the bad first half of the season, part.
Damian, are you going to join us?
Sure.
Looks like Damian Barling.
Be happy to join you.
Damian Barling, everyone.
What's up, man?
Damian Barling. Yeah, we were just discussing, first of all, we had our discussion yesterday about the miniature cart that they brought out to go get Dre Greenlaw. Did you at the Super Bowl?
I saw the cart. I don't think I recognized it was a miniature one.
It was just like, put him in a tiny car and put him in the front seat, too.
Yeah, it was like a super small cart. And we were like, why didn't the Raiders should have had like the giant helmet cart with their own.
Oh, that would have been tremendous.
Wouldn't it? Like, that would have been tremendous. Like they roll out with this big giant cart, but no, they miss a boat. And then the other thing
you could have said, oh, they're in the Super Bowl. That would have been good.
Exactly. They made it.
They made it, Mom.
We made it.
They did it.
Okay, so the other thing I was bringing up with Jesse, did you notice in the Super Bowl that they had extra officials?
I didn't notice that either.
You didn't notice running out to break up fights?
So I did notice. I thought that was, I didn't know what that was. I just thought, like, I thought that was like a team official.
No.
I didn't realize that was an actual NFL official.
There was one on each side.
Okay.
And then there was also the one that...
I definitely noticed those guys. I don't think I computed exactly what it was.
They had like a small pad with them.
Each team had their own big dom, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
everybody needs a big dom, I guess.
All right. I don't even know where I go from there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. I was thinking that after the game, all of those extra officials climbed in that little cart and drove away.
That's amazing.
I don't know. I just, like, the whole time I'm like, that is the smallest cart I've ever seen someone, like, go save a player.
I saw the cart come out, and then they went to commercial, and I just didn't think anything of the cart.
But then they come back, and they're trying to Austin Power it down the hallway.
Oh.
And you're like, what are they doing? Like, he's going to get stuck.
Yeah.
Anyway. Is there something in the second half of the season that you need to see from the Kings? If there's one thing you want to see get right.
Consistency.
Well, okay.
I want to see them be consistent. Like, this is, I think they're a good basketball team, but inconsistency makes you a bad basketball team, right? Or it makes you
a 500
an average bat. Yeah, it makes you an average basketball team. And I think, like, I've held off, you know, any, like, over-the-top feelings about this team, long-term proclamations about this team, long-term meaning the rest of the season, because this was the time last year where everyone said, hey, everyone's going to be so much better. You've got to be, you guys aren't going to be able to keep up. And I think they were 16-6 before the final week of the season. So you're probably going to have to show us something like that again, because, you know, 16-6 solidified and locked in your spot at the three seed. You need a record like that probably to be competitive with the way Dallas is playing right now, with the way that Phoenix is playing, with the way that the Golden State Warriors are playing. You're going to have to play better than your win percentage is right now the rest of the season.
No, I agree completely. And I also look at this game tonight, the game tomorrow night. These are really big games, because even if you go, let's say you go six, if you drop these two games, you go 16-6, you finish with like 46 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't even push for 50. And I thought that this team would easily push for 50 this year, but the inconsistency has killed them all season long. And the only way you're possibly going to get to 50 is if you pick up one win here.
But if 46 wins gets you to the sixth spot, I don't care.
No, I get that. I get that.
And I understand your point. Like it's less, and you're going to have to fight through to the end of the season to get to that number, right? You can't. You're not going to be able to take the last three games of the season off like you did last year. But if they get to 46 wins and that gets them the sixth spot, that's all that matters. Because 16-6, that means you've beaten Dallas along the way. That means you've beaten Phoenix. All of these teams that are really, really hot right now, you've beaten them along the way and improved your positioning.
James asked me this earlier, and like my brain blew up. What's your confidence level that they do like turn up, or not even turn up, just become consistent or better, whatever it is? Like that we see something different from this team.
I don't have one. Like none. Like I don't. Like, because, well, I mean, what do I have to base? I have last year to base that on. I don't have what we've seen this year. What we've seen this year is Denver and then Oklahoma City. And you throw into Detroit. Like, that's what we've seen.
Yeah.
And so it's the ups and the downs. And with a handful of teams playing really, really good basketball, the fact that the Kings are what, eight games above 500?
I think they're eight right now.
Okay,
right?
So 8 games above 500. Like that, the fact that these other teams are playing at such a strong clip right now, that's going to be a tough position for the Kings. That'll be a really nice, solid seventh or eighth spot, depending on how hot the Warriors wind up being. Because the team that I don't think is getting hot is the Lakers.
Mm.
The Lakers are just kind of there. The Pelicans, I can't make heads or tails of. They're the greatest team that's ever existed when they play Sacramento, and then they're just fine when they play the rest of the league.
The Lakers would be that team you don't want to see in the play-in for that last spot. I don't want to play LeBron James in a one-off game.
I'd rather play the Lakers than the Warriors.
Maybe.
I ain't that's dealing fair. With that headache again.
Well, yeah, because you know anytime it's Warriors and Kings, it's going down to the wire no matter who's playing.
Yeah, I don't want to see Steph.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
I think it really does speak volumes that, you know, again, they're right. They're stuck with these four teams, and the Pelicans are 0-4. The Suns are 2-1 against, and Dallas, they're 2-0 against.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you have no idea which team is going to show up and what matchup is going to be something you can't get past. And until they figure that out, you know, I don't know that we're going to see this team really take strides to move forward.
I agree.
It feels like this team is on hold till the offseason.
It does now. Yeah. I didn't feel that before, but yeah.
I hope that's not the case.
Because me, I'm like, I feel like I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to learn from this team the second part of this season. I feel like it's just kind of we know already.
I hope that my original thought on them earlier this year was right, and they thought they were entitled. Mm. And now, being in the seventh spot, staring at the eighth spot with a bad night tonight or a bad night tomorrow. Hey, you know, we actually aren't entitled to the sixth spot or a top six spot. We need to figure out a way to get more consistent. We need to figure out a way to fight through games when we're not shooting well. We need to figure out a way to get points on the board if the three's not falling at an amazing clip. Those are things that I think they need to figure out over the course of the final stretch of the season.
I agree. All right. Well, Jesse and I are going to step aside. We're going to let D'Lo and Casey take over the room. Thanks for tuning in to The Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back tomorrow. Maybe Kyle Madsen will join us. We'll see, hopefully. Fingers crossed. But thanks for tuning in. Let's see what D'Lo and Casey have coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.